Joining us on Community Conversations this morning, we have Iowa Department of Transportation's Pete Helmstead on the line. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, Chris and Mark. I make sure I didn't say K.
I guess in the K. Winkleman mode here, Pete, I'm not a big fan of roundabouts myself. I can navigate them, but it seems like a lot of other motorists don't know how to navigate them. But that's another conversation for them.
That's the thing. You know, we're good drivers, but other people are not.
Well, yeah, it's obviously the other guy you have to worry
about.
That's
right. That's right. So,
well, I will say that Kay invited me to speak at the Charles City Rotary Club a week ago Monday. And we talked about roundabouts, and I think I'm kind of reading the room. They were pretty good supports. There's a few, I think, who had some questions, but there was like one very outspoken supporter, a couple outspoken supporters, actually. So we're not going to force them in, guys. But if there's a place where they make sense, we are going to look at them.
I'd like to see them at every single intersection just for Kay Winkleman.
Just to mess with Kay. Yes. Get on that, Pete.
Like I've said before, we always go on a motorcycle trip at least once or twice a year over in the Prairie du Chien area, and we go, there's a set of three roundabouts there on the east side of town on the north-south main street, and actually it's the main highway, and it's just crazy how they move traffic through there with nobody having to stop, and it's really, really efficient. They've been there for several years, and people are used to them, and they work really well.
Well, I mean, in today's day and age, who has time to stop, right? We're all in a hurry to get somewhere.
Yeah, that's another good point.
We can't be waiting at a stoplight for 30
seconds. When you put it that way, I'm on board with
the
roundabouts because I'm an impatient driver, and people get out of my way, okay? That's my philosophy.
Oh, that is great. Well, of course, just several weeks ago, well, about a month or so ago, we were impacted by a lot of heavy rainfall. Of course, northwestern Iowa got hit the hardest. They had copious amounts of rain, flooding bridges completely, taking bridges out. Let's talk about the flooding impacts here across north central and northeastern Iowa. Were there any?
You know, it delayed some projects. The two big ones in our district right now, actually, there's kind of three. The Lansing Bridge project has been shut down since early June. They hope to be back in by Monday and getting back to work. But the problem is their construction yard, the area that they use for staging equipment on the south side, as well as the construction area for the piers and abutments on the Wisconsin side of the river, they're going to have to get in there and clean it up because it's going to be full of debris and everything. So that's also going to play into before the fact where they can get working on the piers and the bridge again. But the good news is the water is going down, and it looks like they'll be back working there next week. The other one that's been affected is the Highway 122 bridge for eastbound traffic on the west edge of Mason City. That one's been shut down for several weeks. They were back Monday, and the river had gone down to a level where they could pump out the area, and they were back working on Tuesday. So I know they're going to be putting in every effort they can to try to make up time. And then the other one is the Iowa 3 bridge replacement in Waverly. That was scheduled to start on July 8th. But to tear that bridge down, the contractor needs to get out in the river on a causeway, more or less a road that they will build that runs out into the river so they can get to the bridge. And the water's just been too high to do that. So they're hoping to get going on that one on August 1st. So that's about a month delay as well. But other than that, a lot of our other projects have survived the high water and are moving along.
Pete, I find it kind of a little ironic. Earlier in the spring, when we were still in the drought, all that dry weather allowed you a lot of these projects to move ahead of schedule. And now the waters of the last month or so, the rains have kind of tempered and kind of even that out. And how do you guys try to? I mean, you try to factor those kind of things in, right? When you're, especially from some of these long-term projects that, like the Lansing Bridge, that you just know that there's going to be some delays here along the way.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, going back to the Lansing Bridge, as you mentioned, you know, that's not scheduled for completion until the end of 2026. So hopefully, we now have some time to make up for the time we lost. And yeah, that's why a lot of these bridge projects, when, you know, they initially go out and we put on 511 IA that, you know, they're not going to be done until late October or early November. Yeah, if you get perfect weather conditions, you might get them done early. But as you mentioned, you know that we are going to run into some type of delays, whether it be spring flooding. Now, this flooding we saw this year was obviously a little unique with all the rain we got. But, yeah, there is weather factored into it because it is the Midwest, and we know we are going to have to deal with something. It was kind of humorous on the Lansing Facebook page that I run when we got shut down. I put on the page, you know, looks like Mother Nature is winning this time or something like that. And somebody replied, this time Mother Nature always wins. I was like, yeah, good point. You are correct.
Yeah. Water always wins too. That is the old saying as well.
Yeah. I don't know if there's anything that's much more destructive than water.
Yeah, that's true. Now, looking at 511IA.org, which is the our go-to website for construction projects, I noticed that there was a change with all that flooding going on in northwestern Iowa. And I'm not sure if that was the cause of this, but the Iowa County Engineers Association has what they call the County 511 map. And pretty much all counties here in the KCHA listening area are covered by this: Floyd, Chickasaw, Mitchell, Howard, Cerro Gordo County. But those county road closures now show on 511IA.org as well. Is that a temporary option, or is that going to be a permanent feature on 511?
It's going to be a permanent feature as far as if there is a natural disaster, like the scope of the flooding that we had and are still dealing with as far as some of the damage. If there's something like a mass event like that, the link to that county site has always been on 511. You just have to go to that link manually. If there is something massive like the flooding that we have been seeing in northwest Iowa, we are going to add that layer to 511 IA as well to make it more of a one-stop shop, especially in time of a disaster like that.
Now, Pete, you're with the Mason City District Office. I don't have the map in front of me. How far west do you go? And I imagine with the extent of what was going on with northwest Iowa, you guys have to share maybe, I assume you probably share some resources to help with any road recovery out that way?
Yeah, and especially debris removal. Excuse me, like over in Spencer, we had crews. You know, we've got the 19 northeast Iowa counties, and we pretty much go as far west as Kossuth and Humboldt County, and then all the way over the Mississippi River. So we have 19 counties, 17 shops, and I believe we had people from every single one of our shops over in northwest Iowa helping clean up. And this was over the 4th of July. These people left during the holiday and volunteered to work the holiday and go over there and do what they can to help, especially with the debris removal in Spencer. And so, yes, long story short, we did. We definitely, in times like that, we do have resources, whether it be equipment, manpower, both, that we do send over there.
Yeah, no, one time I was looking at social media and I saw the picture of several dozen DOT trucks all lined up for all that debris in Spencer. So thank you.
Got us a convoy.
That's right.
Yeah, no, it's a pretty good working relationship, and hopefully we don't need it, but if we do, we know that other parts of the state will be here to help us as well.
That's right. So are there any other upcoming construction projects that doesn't involve bridges?
Well, I will, speaking of bridges, there is a couple updates. The Iowa 14 at Roseville between the Marble Rock and Rockford turnoffs. Things are going really well there. Again, that's one of those bridges where they were able to get stuff done as far as the substructure, the piers and the abutments before the water got too high. And they've been moving right along. In fact, they're doing a deck pour on that one today. So that's always kind of a benchmark, is to get the deck poured. So that's good news. And the US 18 bridge at Bassett, they're doing well there also. And they hope to be doing a deck pour there in a couple weeks. Now, as far as other projects, we do have a couple that are going to be starting this fall. They were just went to letting on Tuesday of this week. And one of them is the US 65 reconstruction project in Mason City that will run from 6th Street South to approximately 28th Street South in Mason City. And that will be getting going in about a month. We will be starting by reconstructing 6th to 8th Street and the 19th Street intersection on the south side, kind of in the middle of the project. So we'll have more dates as far as when they're going to be starting once we get the contract signed and back from the contractor and we have our pre-construction meeting. So be aware that one will still be starting this fall and there will be some detours involved in that one.
Yeah, that's and a main artery in town.
Yeah, exactly. Very, very, very big project that's going to be noticed by a lot of people. We also are going to be working on I-35. We're going to be doing some resurfacing work. That was also, these projects were just let on Tuesday, so we don't have an exact start date yet, but we do expect them to start sometime in the next month or so. The south of Clear Lake, north to B-20, we'll be doing some resurfacing work there. And then the 7 miles south of the Cerro Gordo line into Franklin County, we will be doing microsurfacing there. So again, those projects will be going yet this fall. We'll have more dates when we get, again, the contracts back and we get pre-construction meeting set up and completed.
And I assume that Kay Winkleman can rest easy, that probably no roundabouts coming to I-35.
No roundabouts on I-35. That remember that part where I said we're not going to put them where they don't belong?
Could you
that
imagine?
Would definitely qualify.
Imagine a roundabout right in the middle of I-35. That would be
that would not be a good idea.
Wonder, would the speed limit remain at 70? That would make it more interesting. Trying to get around that.
I can tell you right away, no.
Well, awesome. Thank you very much, Pete, for joining us once again. And as always, for the latest in your road construction projects, you can check out 511IA.org. Plus, you can take it with you on your phone. Just download the free 511IA mobile app. Have a great rest of your month of July. We'll talk to you in August.
Sounds great, guys. Thank you.
Thanks,
Pete. Thank you very much. Pete Helmstead, once again, from the Iowa Department of Transportation, our featured guest on Community Conversations this morning. Once again, brought to you by Floyd County Medical Center.